My name is Nate Graybill. I have the great opportunity to serve on staff here with a number of the folks in the room, some of the CR leaders. We just have a great opportunity today. Last year, we started to talk about ways that we could continue to equip some of our CR leaders and even some of the church in some of the process of discipline, some of the disciplines that are really important in the Christian sanctification process and growth. And one of those topics was forgiveness. And about a little over a year ago, I was at Hope for the Heart and did a little Bible study devotional over there and had the great opportunity to meet June. And June had written a book on forgiveness. And so we just felt like it would be a great opportunity for her to come in and teach us on something that is really difficult to do, especially when it's with folks that you don't necessarily want to forgive or you've got some deep wounds. And so we want to welcome June Hunt to come in and speak tonight. June is the founder and CEO, actually CSO, Chief Servant Officer, of Hope for the Heart Ministries. She is a Christian leader whose life work has yielded landmark contributions in the field of Christian counseling. She's an author, a singer, a speaker. She founded Hope for the Heart in 1986. And since then, the ministry has offered hope through biblically based counsel to people in more than 60 countries. After years of teaching and research, she developed Counseling Through the Bible, a scripturally based counseling course addressing approximately 100 topics. These 100 biblical counseling keys have become the foundation for the ministry's steady expansion, including the 2002 creation of Hope Biblical Counseling Institute. And just so you know, this is one of the books that we on staff use pretty consistently that just gives us great guidance in how to address specific issues as they come up. All the coaches within Celebrate Recovery get this. There's an electronic version that Watermark has made available to community group leaders, leaders throughout the church. And just how to address issues as they pop up within your communities, within the ministry. We use it all the time. It is great stuff. She has also has two popular radio programs heard on more than 500 radio outlets around the world, Hope for the Heart and Hope in the Night. I remember hearing her radio show over 15 years ago when I was in Michigan before I ever came down. And then she's authored several books. And the one of which that, you know, that she gave to me and that I asked her to come talk on was How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. Other books include Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes, How to Handle Your Anger, How to handle your emotions, and Keeping Your Cool When Your Anger Is Hot, which is probably one that I need. So, you know, I just want to open us up with a word of prayer and then turn the mic over to June. And she's always, it's a great chance to learn. She's entertaining, but also really great with the Word of God. And so I look forward to it. Lord, I just thank you for the work that you've done in June Hunt's life and the way that she stepped forward and just come forward to be equipped by you and then go and make disciples of all nations. So I pray for her today and just ask that you would use her today in our lives to grow us in an area that you have done for us. He who's forgiven much loves much. And I just pray that we would continue to understand how much we've been forgiven and that would open the gateway for us to forgive others. So be glorified here today. And thank you for your work in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please welcome June Hunt.
Appreciate you. Wonderful. What an honor to be here. I love Celebrate Recovery. I love Watermark. I love what you are doing to change lives. And one of the things that Nate and I talked about was the importance of not just having people come for the first time into a relationship with Christ, but if you have a sick baby, that baby needs to get well. And many times people come as new babes in Christ, and they are ill, and they need surgery, they need medication, they need tender care, and also there are those who grow, and they are not babies anymore, and they are not well, and that's why I think it's vital, your role. What a privilege for me to be here. I just to kind of set the tone of what I think the Lord is wanting to do here. Just a simple chorus.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love. There is comfort in life's darkest hour. There is light and life. There is health and power in the Spirit. In the Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love. There is comfort in life's darkest hour. There is light and life. There is help and power in the Spirit of the Lord.
That's what we need. We need help. We need healing. We need hope. The problem comes when we have difficult people at times in our lives. And I understand why this issue of forgiveness, I understand why Nate wanted me to come. I understand why we have resources that people want. And it's because this is a very hard topic. Forgiveness, I will tell you my view of forgiveness. It was wrong. How do you forgive someone when they haven't been repentant? They don't deserve it? There is no, I'm sorry, please forgive me. My view of forgiveness was you're letting them off the hook. And that's not right. You're enabling them to continue to be irresponsible. My frame of reference specifically had to do with my upbringing. It was rather challenging. And I was very closed. I didn't talk to people, didn't share anything with a friend. And it was painful because the real truth is I grew up in a family off on the side. My mother was not married to my father. I knew who he was and all, and I would see him come around and all. And then there was a point at which his wife died, and his first wife. And then he married my mom, and the way he treated my mom, the words, the put downs, just incensed me. My mom was half his age. There was a huge issue of control. There was never negotiation. I mean, it was if there was, it was just maybe one or two times I ever saw. And you just couldn't negotiate with him. It was just law. It was law. And he was I would call him a dictator, but not a benevolent dictator. And what made it difficult is he was so successful, and I saw all these yes people around here, and I thought, oh, you know. And yet here he would have these multiple affairs over here, and you know, I did wonder, well, how could he be so successful over here? And I think he really was ethical in business. But he compartmentalized. And a lot of people are able to do that. They compartmentalize. Over here, they're fine. Over here, they're not. And to me, I it was like, if looks could kill, you know, I would try so hard. Somebody needed to let him know how wrong he was. And it was, I thought, my duty to do that. Now, the problem was when I would try to verbalize something, it was disastrous. He periodically would use certain tactics. Well, the thing that terrified me the most is that he would come into my room or maybe downstairs somewhere. He'd say, your mother's mentally ill today. Now, that may not terrify you, just have somebody say that about somebody you love. But the problem was this. His eldest son had a mental breakdown during World War II, and he was institutionalized. And he lived for years and years in the East in an institution. So when I hear your mother is mentally ill, and when I know that periodically he takes her to psychiatrists, I was terrorized. And so I remember one day him saying this to me, your mother's mentally ill today. And I said, had it ever occurred to you that you might be the one mentally ill? Not smart. He turned me over on a bed and began to hit and hit and hit and hit. And I remember squinching up my shoulders. I thought, hell will freeze over before I shed one tear. And it was painful because he was a big guy. And yet, I was so angry and so fearful of what he was going to do. And what I loved was I got up and I thought, oh, I said, is that all? Because I wore him out. He just wore out. And I didn't wear him out, but he wore out. And so I remember leaving the room, and I thought, I won. Well, I didn't win. By the way, that was the only time I can ever remember my mom not being there, no other family member being at my home. I have a brother and two sisters and my mom, and they were all gone, and it was just my dad and myself in the home. Well, the next morning, I found myself being shipped off to boarding school. And that killed Mother. And I just, you know, so I learned. You can't confront. Don't confront. But that's the if looks could kill. I tried to do the daggers, you know. You know, you can imagine how effective I was in having him repent of his wrong. It did help tremendously when I came into a relationship with Christ. I needed to have a changed life. But I still thought my premise was correct. I really believed I was right about it would be wrong to forgive. And I had to learn the hard way that holding on to forgiveness only creates a burden within the person who is unforgiving. I was the one in bondage, but I didn't know it. And I'm very justice-oriented, and that's why it just seemed not right to let him off the hook. And so I want to explain some things about forgiveness that kind of surprised me. I was teaching we have what's called a Biblical Counseling Institute, and I'll teach on one topic for 9 hours. And I remember the last time I taught on forgiveness, I had a large group, and I said, tell me, what does forgiveness mean? And I was actually surprised that there was so much lack of clarity about what forgiveness was. And these were people that I think it seemed like a really good mix of a lot of Christians. And so I think there's a lot of confusion about this, not only in the quote-unquote Christian world, but the non-Christian world. Forgiveness, initially we could say it's dismissing a debt. I like to make things easy. Two D's together, dismissing a debt. And if you dismiss a debt, that means you grant forgiveness where the other person does not have to pay. It's dismissing your demand that others owe you, especially when they fail to meet your expectations, when they fail to keep a promise, when they treat you unjustly. So you're dismissing, canceling, setting someone free of having to pay that debt. Now, you think about it. Somehow I got here, and I guess I just didn't have my wallet or something, and I needed my phone. I just didn't do this. That is the truth. I don't have my cell phone or anything. So I need to have like a $20 because I do need to have gas to get back to my house and all. Would anybody loan me 20? Does anybody have any money they could borrow me? I mean, they could loan me? Is that thing?
I got it.
You got it? Oh, thank you so much. What's your name?
Charla.
And it's really a $20?
Wait,
oh.
I thought it was.
Okay, that was $40. Okay. Charlotte?
Thank you.
Oh, well, no, thank you. Okay. Now, Charlotte, I need to clarify. I'm going to pay you back. Let's see. You'll have it by Wednesday, okay?
Hey, thank you.
And so you understand it, yeah.
Okay.
And I'll get your address and all.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, I really have my wallet. The truth is, I like having money to spend on certain things, and so this is convenient. But you know, I end up liking this church. I mean, even though I go someplace else, I think, you know, I just like the spirit here. And so I decide I'm going to join. And by the way, Charlotte does not get anything by Wednesday or the following Wednesday or the following Wednesday after that. Instead, she never hears from me again, even though I have her address. And so then I think, this is a cool organization. There's, you know, wow, to be able to help people, that feels good. So I just thought, I'm going to join. Can I kind of join, Nate? Can I be a part of this? Okay, great. So I'm here now. I'm around. She sees me about once a week. How is she going to feel knowing that I even said in front of a group I was going to pay her back? What do you think she'd feel? Just tell me. What do you think she'd feel if every whether it's Sunday or Monday night or whatever, she sees me, there I'm there, smiling.
Money is.
Where's your money? And what's feeling?
Resentment.
Resentment.
Bitterness.
Anger. Boy, it sounds like you're a pro here. Been there, done that?
10,000.
Oh, 10,000. Okay, got it. Well, I could go for 10,000. No. So, now, every time I walk in, who's in control?
You are.
I'm in control of her. Every time she sees me, I am controlling her by virtue of my wrong. Now, she recognizes in her stomach, you know, why didn't you just pay me back? Oh, it was just $20. But see, of course, I've gone to other people too. I have these tires. Somebody slipped my tires. I need $100. Could you, out of kindness of your heart, I mean, if you know, and so I use people. So now, with this pattern, I'm doing quite well financially. So, Charlotte has a decision. She can keep being controlled by me, or she could come to me and say, June, I just want you to know, I remember that time when it was an illustration, I thought, I was going to, I loaned you the money. But you know what? I am totally forgiving the debt. I am not expecting to see anything at all. And you do not have to pay me back that $20. Now, let me ask. The next time she sees me, do you think she's expecting me to pay? No. Okay, why? Why not? That's right. She's forgiven the debt. By the way, if I should come to her and say, "Hey, Charlotte, I have somebody slipped my tires, and you know, you were so kind to me before. Is it possible that you could, out of the kindness of your heart, would you be willing to loan me $100 to help me with my tires?" What would you say?
Well, you have to decide you're going to just give it to him, or you're going to say no.
So you're going to say no to me? But you're a Christian?
You'd have to go through Karis.
You'd have to go through Karis. Well, the thing is, you know what? It would be wrong for her to do that if she did that. If I came to her, because then she's enabling me to continue my lifestyle of conning people. So this is where you see many parents. They continue to give and give, funding a child's, a son's or daughter's drug habit, thievery. So you don't do it just because they're asked. By the way, so she won't get upset with me. I better give this to you now. But you know, she should be able to tell, you know, this would not be wise for me to give her money again. But see, the first time, she was just seeking to do what was right. She, out of the goodness of her heart, she was trying to help somebody in need. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But there are times when, and I agree, that when you give, don't expect to see it returned, even though it's claimed as a debt. I mean, that's at least how I live my life. The issue, though, is what are we going to do with the people in our lives who don't pay us back, who don't do what is right? We have a choice. We can, every time we see them, feel inside us, or we can choose to dismiss the debt. I said that I like things simple. To release resentment. That's another way to do two R's, to release resentment. That's another way to see what it means to forgive. You release your right to hear, "I'm sorry." You release your right to be bitter. You release your right to get even. And to forgive is to release your rights according to this offense, to even dwell on it, to hold on to it, to keep bringing it up. And I remember specifically with my mom, after we got into a biblically based church, and I saw my mom just grow spiritually, and I later became a youth director, and didn't plan on doing anything I'm doing, but then came a college and career director and loved it and started teaching singles. But I would get all these questions. And finally, I remember going to my mom and said, "Mom, what did you do when Dad just was so... how did you handle his infidelity?" Because she said, I learned to not continue to bring things up, that if the door was closed, if there was something that he was doing," she said, I just chose not to continue to dwell on it. And that was a huge issue. And I remember listening to her, and she was growing spiritually. And by the way, I know that there are other options in regard to adultery and all this. But my mom honestly did not know that she had choices. I mean, what I'm saying is, she, in the midst of the marriage, there were many times when she felt powerless. But there were things that she did that where she didn't have bitterness. She wasn't controlled with that. And this is what I find is typical. Let's say here is a man, and I'm typecasting now, a man who's being unfaithful, and here's the wife. Well, what typically occurs is then the wife assembles the group of close confidants, and everybody's against the guy who's the villain, and all the daggers go this direction. Well, instead, you know, I went to my mom one day, and I said, after something he had done, and I said, "How can you be so nice to him?" And with clenched teeth, I'm just, oh, the way he was treating her and saying certain things that he would do. And so she said, "Oh, honey, he doesn't know the Lord. If he only knew the Lord, he wouldn't be that way." That was it. Now I understood because she had understood how to be forgiven and set free by God with phenomenal people who helped her. And so she didn't have that bitterness. In fact, that was the most extraordinary thing to me, is I was the one who was bitter. I was the one with the unforgiveness, because I could see what was wrong. You know, I'm thinking, I'm being a realist here. I'm a realist. But you see, she said, but honey, he doesn't know the Lord. If he only knew the Lord, he wouldn't be that way. She wasn't focusing on his fault. She was focusing on his need. His need was to have a changed life through Christ. Then he wouldn't be that way. So that totally changed my paradigm. I thought, oh, well, how is he going to know the Lord? By me going, arf. Because see, now I was a Christian, but I was still just, you know. Well, I began to think, how can I reach him? I mean, I wasn't assuming that I would be the one to reach him. What, is there anything that I could do to prepare him as Mom was doing? What I would say is Mother prepared the soil of his heart. Because, you see, he grew up, I do remember the first time he was, I saw him go to church, and it was with us, and I thought, oh, the walls are still standing, because he had not been in church for 40 years, except for weddings and funerals. And much later after he died, I learned that he actually had a father who was violent and would beat his mother, and at times he would go to sleep on a church pew. And this is a cousin of his who told me this, our nephew. And basically, he would sometimes live in their home. I didn't, not, do you know what? Not one time. This is a clue for you. You who are in CR, you need to understand, if you never hear someone ever talk about somebody where it's most logical for them to be talking about that person, in my total life, I never once heard him speak about his father. Now, if I had been a bulb that had been, you know, screwed in right and that would shine, I would have thought, why is he not ever mentioning his dad? But I didn't know to do that at the time. And so he grew up in a terrible, terribly dysfunctional home. And I didn't know him to be a daddy. I didn't know him to know how to do that. But the truth is, I had totally misunderstood the issue of forgiveness. By the way, I had read some scriptures, and I think, that's good. That's a good scripture about forgiveness. But God knows my situation is different. I promise that's what I thought. I promise that's what I thought. By the way, I have this in my home on my little Welch dresser. To err is human. To blame it on someone else is more human. You know, it's so easy for us to see when we are wrong. It's easy for us to blame it on someone else. So my lack of forgiveness, I was blaming on my dad. And let me explain some things that forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not circumventing God's judgment. It's allowing God to execute his justice in his time and in his way. Forgiveness is not waiting for time to heal all wounds. It's clear that time does not heal all wounds. Some people will not allow healing. I made this list. We have what are called biblical counseling keys, and as Nate said, we have 100 of these. And you know, I just made a list of, because we deal with definitions and characteristics, causes and solutions on 100 topics. So I was sitting there when I was putting this all together a long time ago. I was going, okay, forgiveness. Let me make sure what is not, because this was my, it's one, this was an error in my own life, a big hole, if you will, that I need to fill correctly. Forgiveness is not letting the guilty off the hook. It's moving the guilty from your hook to God's hook. That concept made all the difference in the world to me, to understand that. By the way, forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation. It takes two for reconciliation, only one for forgiveness. Forgiveness is not excusing unjust behavior. I'm just going down this list. It's acknowledging unjust behavior is without excuse while still forgiving. Forgiveness is not explaining away the hurt. It's working through the hurt. Forgiveness is not based on what is fair. See, I was big on fairness. Look, it wasn't fair for Jesus to hang on the cross, but he did so. And he even said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They have no clue as to what they're doing right now. And I hear that a bit. Nate mentioned that I do a call-in. Well, it's really Hope in the Night is a call-in counseling program. So I have people call. There are certain things that I hear. And like if someone's calling me and they say, well, I just can't forgive. Or if I find out that's the problem and then I find, and so I'm asking about forgiveness. And when I see it's a big stumbling block, I'll say, well, tell me, what does forgiveness mean? This is one of the responses that every great once in a while I would get. It means being a weak martyr. No, it's being strong enough to be Christ-like. Forgiveness, another thing I hear is it's being a doormat. If it were being a doormat, then Jesus would have been the biggest doormat in the world. Forgiveness is not denying the hurt. It's feeling the hurt and releasing it to God. Forgiveness, by the way, is not a natural response. It is supernatural. Natural would be, don't forgive. Forgiveness is supernatural, and it's empowered by God. If you choose to forgive, you will be empowered by God to do it. Because anything God tells you to do, he'll equip you to do it. What does he tell you to do? We always have a key verse for all of our 100 topics. Key verse. Some of you are taking notes, so write this down. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Did you deserve to be forgiven? You didn't? I didn't either. So it's not based on being deserved. Forgiveness, by the way, do you ever hear this forgive and forget? And just where is that in the Bible that you are to forgive and forget? It's not there. Now, the Bible does say that he'll forgive our sins and remember our sins no more. Now let's think about this. Do you think he gets holy amnesia? Is that what's going on here? He has holy amnesia? God knows everything. He's not holding it against us. It's not that he can't ever remember, but understand God has a capacity of putting things away. He forgives us. And it's done. It's over. It's not bringing up the issue again and again. Forgiveness, and this is where I hear a lot, well, I don't feel like forgiving. Do you feel like forgiving somebody who's really wounded you? Forgiveness isn't a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. It's an act of the will. And you have a choice as to what you do. You have a choice in life. And you are to carry through with that choice. By the way, I was I've been surprised about one comment I've received a number of times, and it has to do with this book, and so I'm going to go and highlight it. It's the How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. And my surprise is this. I've had a number of people come to me and say, I now am able to forgive when I haven't been able to forgive before because of now understanding about reconciliation. I thought it had to be that when you forgive, then you had to reconcile. No. No. If that's the block, whether it's with you or with someone else that you're trying to help, help them with this. Let's explain it this way. Forgiveness is one way, regardless of what that person says or does. Reconciliation is reciprocal. It's occurring two ways. Forgiveness is a decision to release the offender to God. Reconciliation is the effort to rejoin the offender. Now, if some of you are thinking, wait a minute, this doesn't sound biblical. Just today, I was hearing about someone who whose husband was violent. And, you know, the Bible says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. So if someone continues to be violent, you're not to associate with that person. So if you have someone who's dealing with domestic violence or anybody who's just violent, do not associate with that person. Even in the context of marriage, you need to help that person get out of harm's way. Do you understand? Why? Because the Bible, that's Proverbs 22:24, because the Bible also says in Proverbs 19:19, and that's kind of an easy one to remember, so you can write that down, that's easy. Proverbs 19:19, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. So I said to this man who was telling me about what had happened to his sister, I said, well, did she testify? Did she, in essence, calling 911 or taking something to go, oh, no, she wouldn't do that. Well, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. And that's what's happened. Just repeat it again and again and again. So there are times, do you understand, where you don't reconcile just because you're a Christian. If we're going to be biblical, there have to be conditions. Is it wise for you as a parent, if you have a child, let's assume everyone here, you have a child, and then out of the goodness of your heart, you bring somebody in who needs a place to stay, and this man is looking for a job or whatever, and then later on you find out that he has been sexually molesting your daughter. Now, do you believe that what you're needing to do, therefore, is because you're a Christian, you're supposed to be have a reconciled relationship, and you just keep having him in your home? No. Do you understand? You're charged to be a protector of children, and there are guidelines, biblical guidelines. So sometimes we have a wonderful image of come, but yet there are times when God says, No, there is a time where there must be a time of separation for healing, for taking responsibility. And so forgiveness, let me do again the difference between reconciliation and forgiveness. Forgiveness involves a change of thinking about the offender, a change of thinking. In other words, I am choosing to know that I need to forgive, and this is what is best in this situation, to forgive that person. No, I'm releasing that person to God. Reconciliation involves a change of behavior by the offender. And if there's no change, there's no right reconciliation, because it's just going to happen again and again and again, whatever is wrong. Forgiveness is a free gift to the one who has broken trust. Reconciliation is restored relationship. A restored relationship based on restored trust. Understand, forgiveness is extended if it's never, ever earned. Reconciliation is offered to the offender because it has been earned. Forgiveness is unconditional, regardless of a lack of repentance. Remember, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Whatever grievances. That's what Colossians 3:13 says. So forgiveness is unconditional, regardless of a lack of repentance. Reconciliation is conditional based on repentance. And by the way, it was very, very hard for me to forgive because, again, I'm justice-oriented. I look at what should be right and why isn't this right. I want to ask a question. How many of you can actually identify with me that, and you really have had a struggle forgiving? Can I see your hands, those of you who have really struggled with forgiveness? Okay. So you really do understand. Most of you here. Okay. I've learned that basically we operate with wrong beliefs and right beliefs. And in our 100 biblical counseling keys, you'll notice, since you have access to our material, you'll always see in the causes section a wrong belief and a right belief. And that can be very helpful because we deal with the root cause. What's the root cause in terms of the wrong belief? The wrong belief is, it's natural for me to resent those who've wronged me. If I forgive them, they'll get away with it. My offenders need to pay for the wrongs committed against me. That does sound logical, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. But the result is, it ends up reflecting an attitude of pride where I'm at the center. The middle letter of the word pride is I. And it sets me up as a higher judge than God. A higher judge than God himself, who is willing to forgive. Do you see? If God is willing to forgive and I am not, then I am now the higher judge. And I don't want to be there. The right belief is, because God has totally forgiven me, I can release my resentment, my bitterness, and choose to forgive others. I will rely on Christ, who lives in me, to forgive through me. Realize, anything God calls you to do, he will equip you to do. He'll never call you to do something. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have. He'll never call you to do something without equipping you to do it. And when you do this, instead of putting up as a higher judge, it reflects the heart of humility of Christ. And it results in a desire to actually forgive others in the same way that God forgives you. Now, I remember a man who was attending a Bible study I had, and he wanted to talk with me privately, and so he came one afternoon, and he said, I know I prayed to receive Christ, and yet I know I'm not a Christian. I know I'm not saved. And I thought, well, probably it's just that it hasn't been made clear what does it really mean to be a Christian. You know, maybe he has misunderstood. So And I'd met this man. I was asked to speak at a church, and it was not a biblically based church at all. Nobody was carrying a Bible, and so I invited them to come, and there were a number that started coming when I had a home Bible study. And basically, he came saying that he had actually several times prayed this prayer of salvation. Yet, he said, I just know I'm not saved. So I went through, step by step, what it means to be an authentic Christian. And he said, yes, I understand that. Yes, I understand that. And, would you be willing to pray this prayer, humbling your heart? And so he said, well, I'll pray that prayer. And so he prayed the prayer. And at the end he said, I'm not saved. And I just went, God, please help me. Help me know, what does this man need? I said, tell me, is there someone that you absolutely refuse to forgive? All of a sudden, his face became contorted. Yes, it's my ex-wife and she doesn't deserve to be forgiven. And the change was so dramatic, I still can picture his face. And I said, obviously she's hurt you very deeply. He said, yes, she has. I said, well, I need to show you something. So I turned in my Bible. And, you know, the passage of what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is really kind of the model prayer, it's followed in a couple of verses by these words: if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I said, John, are you aware that a lack of forgiveness can be a block to your salvation? This long pause. I will not do it. And he ran out of my house. I mean, he just stomped out. Do you understand? This scripture, it's Matthew 6. Write this down. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Because this can be the block to somebody's salvation. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive your sins. But if you do not forgive their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I remember speaking in Prescott, Arizona at a retreat. This woman, at the conclusion of the retreat, she was talking with me. And she was telling me about her husband and ex-husband and what he had done, but she was telling me that she really just wasn't saved, and she just couldn't be saved, and she tried and all. And so I asked her that question. I said, is there someone that you refuse to forgive? And then I hear about, yes, my husband, he wouldn't believe what he did, he went off with my best friend and all this. And I said, so are you saying that you just can't forgive him? And so she said, yes. And so I turn in my Bible to that passage, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive your sins. If you will not forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Her eyes just got big, and she said, oh, well then I need to forgive him. She said, but I wouldn't want him in heaven with me. I said, well, understand, if you humble your heart and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, you're giving him control of your life or whatever. Now, if you're in heaven, and let's say he changes later on, he wouldn't be the same person. Regardless of what he's doing in his life, but he'll be a changed man. And she said, okay. And so she literally prayed to receive Jesus as her Lord and Savior based on this scripture. And you know, it was amazing because I'm not big into emotions. I really don't judge hardly anything by emotions. But she just said after she prayed this prayer, and knowing she had prayed before, but she thought it just wouldn't work for her. She said, I'm saved. She said, I really feel I've been saved. And, you know, she just went off and her friends were with her. And it's like, whoa, just a whole different demeanor and dynamic. A lack of forgiveness can be a block to salvation. It's really true. Well, let's be clear as to how to forgive. First, number one, you face the offense. You have to face what really went wrong. You don't minimize, say, oh, well, it really wasn't that bad, or well, he doesn't mean to hurt me that much. It's you don't excuse it. You face the fact that what was done was wrong. And then you got to be willing to feel the offense. You know, denying pain doesn't do anything. It's painful when someone wrongs you. So don't deny the pain. You know, some people do it this way. Well, you know, I just don't blame her for always criticizing me. She's under a lot of pressure, and besides, it really doesn't hurt. And no, it hurts when somebody's always criticizing you. The truth is, being mistreated by someone you love, someone who's meaningful to you, is painful. And yet we have the Lord in the midst of our pain. I love this passage in Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And a lot of people turn this whole thing around, and instead of feeling the pain, they feel, oh, it must be my fault. I hear this all the time. I did this. I caused him to hit me. I caused him to be highly critical of me and belittle me because I did this over here. No, you don't cause anybody to sin. You don't have the ability to do that. So what do you do? You have to be willing to forgive the offender from the standpoint of literally being willing to see that person and the wrongs and not hold on to it. Remember, we said it's releasing your resentment, it's dismissing the debt. I realize that can be very difficult because on a personal level, I certainly know that. And there's a way that I have found that can be effective. In fact, when I asked how many of you understand what I mean about forgiveness, it being very, very, very hard, you know, I saw all these hands go up. And so what I would appreciate is if I could. Thank you, God. He's confirming that we're on the right track here. I'm sure that was yes. That was a yes. Okay. So, would you be willing to help me? Your hand went up fast. Would you come up here? Is that okay? And what is your name?
Jennifer. I met you at Tuesday
that's,
morning.
That's right. Gosh, this is amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now. All right. That's right. You met her. Good to see you.
I thought good to see you again, too.
Well, it was bad weather. Okay, Jennifer, I want you to come over here. Stand right here. Thought I'd recognize you. Okay. It is a... Oh, wrong light. It's a meat hook.
Wonderful.
Okay. All right, like this. Okay, this is a burlap bag.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Now, I want you to hold it real tight and let go of that and just hold this right here.
You're thinking about somebody who's very difficult to forgive, correct?
There's a few.
A few. Okay. Let's begin.
Let's begin with the $10,000.
Okay. Okay. All right. Oh, that's
ma'am.
Okay. Oh, wait. That's going to be too heavy. Okay. All right. So what did he do? What do you mean $10,000?
I helped him out with my line of credit that he was going to pay me back.
Oh, hold it tight.
But he didn't.
Hold tight. Okay. Okay, that's not good. Okay, what else did he do? Honestly.
When I asked for it finally, which I didn't feel comfortable, his face got that contorted look, and I remember mm-hmm. it because it mm-hmm. changed drastically. I don't like the way you're asking for that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't right.
Okay. Okay. What else?
I wanted to get even, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
I scratched his car.
You scratched his car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
He threw me out of his apartment.
Okay.
He wouldn't let me back in the apartment. He had my computer in there.
Mm-hmm. That was really yours.
It was mine, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
He called the cops on me.
Called the cops on you. For trying to get your computer. And back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anything else that was difficult for you to forgive him for?
Yeah, he took my son's dog. He left me in the middle of the night. This is after we should have ended it long ago, but we didn't. I didn't. And he took my son's dog. He also told my son that he wished that he would fall out the window on the second floor. My son told me that, and I believe my son.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Anything else you want to mention that he did that was wrong?
He came up the stairs one night really drunk and told my son, who was with me watching a scary movie, and mm-hmm. he came up and he saw him sleeping, but he really wasn't asleep, and said, "I can't believe your son's in bed with you again," or something mm-hmm. really horribly mean.
Yeah, yeah.
That my son opened up his eyes and was crying to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's hard when children are hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to mention?
Oh, there's lots more. I became a drug addict over it. And
mm-hmm.
I lost my kids for a while. I lost myself for a while. But I continued to put up with his verbal, emotional abuse.
So he was verbally and emotionally abusive?
Extremely.
Extremely.
You just put the whole table in here.
Okay, hold on, hold on. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay, hold on.
There's more.
There's more, yeah.
There's lots more.
I'm sure there's a lot more. Now, let's say, what would it be like? See, because you haven't even actually let it fully be hanging. And I'm holding it too. What would happen if just this you carried around your neck for the rest of your life? What would happen?
It would break me.
Yeah. What would your... How would it break you?
The anger would eat up my spirit. I'd become sick.
Yeah.
Physically. And I would die. With anger and bitterness in myself.
Okay. So, you have a choice, don't you? You have a choice of carrying this all the rest of your life and all the other things that you have not mentioned. Or you could, as an act of your will, be willing to take him off of your hook and put him...
I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay. So this is releasing all that pain.
Wow.
It's kind of hard to get it.
It is hard to get it.
Yeah. And so now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, this is what you could do. If you're saying you're really wanting to do that, you're willing to release it right now, right?
Willing.
Okay. Would you pray with me? Do you
yes.
want to pray and do this? Okay. Pray after me. God, you know the pain I have felt.
God, you know the pain I have felt.
For so long.
For so long.
You know the weight of all this pain.
You know the weight of all this pain.
I release all that pain into your hands.
I release all that pain into your hands.
And I'm choosing as an act of my will.
And I'm choosing as an act of my will.
To release this man into your hands.
To release this man into your hands.
I take him off of my hook.
I take him off of my hook.
And put him onto God's hook.
And put him onto God's hook.
I choose to forgive him as an act of my will.
I choose to forgive him as an act of my will.
Set me free, Lord Jesus.
Set me free, Lord Jesus.
In your precious name, I pray.
In your precious name, I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Were you sincere in doing that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Glad I met you.
Thank you. One of the things that is so precious is just live and do what God wants you to do. I say that just because there's one advantage in growing older. You learn what doesn't work. What doesn't work is hanging on to unforgiveness. Thank you. And it's an issue of saying, I have a choice. But, you know, part of it is it's my choice to see that this is what I need to do regardless of that person. But it's also realizing that person needs a changed life. And if you're in that person's life in any way, you could be responsible for that other person having a changed life, no longer being the way he or her is. I think the challenge for us then is, what does God want us to do with the people in our lives who've caused us such pain? Let's just bow our heads. If you believe that God is speaking to you right now, and he's saying, you've got to deal with this person. If that is your need right now, and you know you want to be the person God created you to be, you want to be able to be used by God. And yet if there's this barrier, there's something you can do about it. I want you to, right now, put the chief person who's been so difficult for you to forgive, put that person in your mind. And right now, just think of a number of the things that were so wrong that we're done. Do you want to carry 100 pounds around your neck the rest of your life? What will it do to you? You were not created by God to carry that kind of weight. You need to be set free. As an act of your will, you can choose to take all that pain and release it into the hands of God. If that's your need, say that. God, as an act of my will, I'm taking all of this pain. Off of me, and I'm putting it into your hands. And as an act of my will, I take my offender who's hurt me so much, I'm taking my offender off of my hook, putting my offender onto your hook, because you say that vengeance is yours, you will repay. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me and setting me free. In your holy name I pray. Amen. You know, there was a situation when I had somebody who I never, ever, ever thought would hurt me or betray me or anything like that. And I happened to be in a situation where I opened a drawer, and it wasn't my friend, but it was my friend's friend who promised me that she was supporting, and well, I was having difficulty with my friend, and I couldn't understand all that was going on. I had made mistakes, I know that. If I could, I would do some things over. But all of a sudden, I read this card, and it says, it's a letter to my friend. And I never opened a drawer in my friend's house before, like, never in that drawer. And it said, let's see, we don't need any more June Hunts in the world. And yet, just the night before, here I had, this person had been saying how supportive she was of me. And I want you to, have you ever felt your cheeks just getting hot? And I thought, I left the house. This was late at night. I was spending the night at my friend's home. This was out of town. And I thought, I cannot believe I'm so angry. And so I started jogging. At that time, I really did jog. I went more up and down than forward. But I jogged, and I kept going. About 20 minutes later, I was still angry. And I thought, I can't believe it. What is the matter? You're supposed to feel a release, aren't you, when you have anger and all? I was not released. And so I thought, okay, Lord, teach me to act rather than react. Teach me to act rather than react. Teach me to, you know, in rhythm, you go, teach me to act rather than react. Teach me to act rather than react. You know? And so by the time, an hour had passed, and I walked in to my friend's home where everyone was asleep, and I thought, you know, that could be a song. Lord, teach me to act rather than react. Because that's all I did. I just kept saying it, same thing over and over. And so then I came back to Dallas, and I was at Chili's, and I had a piece of paper and started writing some verses. So I came up with this song, and it actually has helped me when I have difficult people in my life where there's an issue of forgiveness that needs to take place. So I'm just going to share this true story with this true song with you.
Lord, teach me to act rather than react. With your spirit in control of me, oh, teach me to help rather than hinder. With the Lord being Lord of me, oh, teach me to trust rather than mistrust. With your spirit inside my soul, oh, teach me to act rather than react. I give you complete control. It was stop and go traffic, the scene was so graphic, when heading back home from town. A car was behind me, and then pulled beside me, the driver had a serious frown. He looked straight at me, it was plain to see, he was forcing his way around. I said, no, he won't, oh, no, you don't, then pushed my foot to the ground. Oh, Lord, teach me to act rather than react. With your spirit in control of me, oh, teach me to help rather than hinder. With the Lord being Lord of me, oh, teach me to trust rather than mistrust. With your spirit inside my soul, oh, teach me to act rather than react. I give you complete control. It was 3:15 for the luncheon with Lee, but the meeting was planned at 1. This had happened before, so my feelings were sore. Now this was not my picture of fun. Lee came in with a grin, no repentance within. Civil war had just begun. I was feeling rejection and voiced my objection. You selfish son of a gun. Oh, Lord, teach me to act rather than react with your spirit in control of me. Oh, teach me to help rather than hinder with the Lord being Lord of me. Oh, teach me to trust rather than mistrust with your spirit inside my soul. Oh, teach me to act rather than react. I give you complete control. When I feel disappointment with no soothing ointment and nothing is going my way, when my heart has been breaking and my soul is aching and I have no more words to say, I'm not under illusion. The only solution is die to my rights each day. Because Christ is inside me to comfort and guide me, and his life has taught me to pray. Teach me to act rather than react with your spirit in control of me. Teach me to help rather than hinder with the Lord being Lord of me. Teach me to trust rather than mistrust with your spirit inside my soul. Teach me to act rather than react. I give you complete. I won't take defeat. I give you complete control.
Thank you.